53 degrees now. KQEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
On Tuesday, the Oregon State Legislature goes into session. Already lawmakers are busy this week. They've, all been sworn in. We're checking in with State Representative Cedric Hayden. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to call in and have a talk with you here. I'm in district. We're not in the Capitol today. We were sworn in earlier, but I'm in district today and with no power.
And, of course, your district includes parts of Lane and Douglas County, some pretty rural areas, and then right on the edge of Roseburg as well. You mentioned being sworn in. Now, how did that work on Tuesday? Was everybody there, or did they kind of schedule you out socially distant?
So when we were sworn in, they did that in kind of two parts when you were going to be sworn in. And so half of the body was in for the first swearing in, which I was in that section. And then they did a second half of it. And so basically we were every other desk, if you will. Wasn't exactly that way, but that was pretty much how it was. For the swearing in process, and we went through that process, and we were all sworn in for the next term here, which runs for 2 years in the legislature and in the House side.
Now, we talked to Floyd Przanski earlier in the week, but explain how the House is going to be operating sort of in Salem and sort of not.
So we are allowed to be in Salem in the building. I actually moved offices, so my computers aren't set up there yet. They had quite a few. There was quite a bit of new members coming in, and there's always this shuffle of offices and whatnot. So my IT stuff is not up and running yet there. So we've been working off of iPads and laptops and things like that. But the way that it's set up is you can be in Salem if you want to be there, or and do your online there, your virtual stuff there, or you can do it from your in-district office or home office or however you set up, as long as you have internet. Most of what we work off of is called Microsoft Teams. Most of the meetings will be set up on that, committee meetings and things like that. And the other option that we talk with each other is on Zooms. Now, I think it's important for the listeners to start looking at if they want to be involved, and I hope that they are involved with the process for testimony and things like that. Microsoft Teams needs a certain Google Chrome Explorer in order to work properly and things like that. So there's some a little more technical difficulty with using that, particularly if not using a desktop computer to do that. But we are going to be starting committees. It was going to be coming up here this next Tuesday, but that has been as of this morning and last night. We've got notification that they don't have the technical stuff on the, from the IT folks up at Salem to get that many people. So they just gave us notice that we're going to be starting the 21st instead of next Tuesday. And I think that's Thursday. So there's a couple of days delay till we get committees going.
What's the difference kind of on the dynamics of being partially there, some folks there, some folks not, some people in their district? I mean, I just think about how legislative sessions traditionally work, and folks grab each other and go huddle in a corner or talk in the hallway and things like that, that for the most part are not going to be done quite the same.
Well, there's going to be two parts as I perceive this session kind of coming together. The first part is going to be pretty much committees only, meaning that we're not anticipating having a floor session, and that's where the both bodies, the Senate and the House, get together in their prospective sides of the buildings and they vote on bills. That's where legislation gets enacted or pre-enacted for the governor's signature. as it goes through that. So what we're hearing now is that we won't start that part until April, mid-April or later, to be determined at this point. But what we will be doing starting Thursday of next week is having committees, public hearings, testimony, and basically vetting the bills that are going to move forward. Now, the difficult part about that is there's usually a lot of conversation, and I serve as vice chair on a couple of committees, and, you know, traditionally we would get together, I would get together with the other vice chair and the chair of the committee, you know, a week before the bills were subject to come up, so we had time to know what was coming and be involved in that process and be ahead of it and reach out to folks that might be affected by that, so they have an opportunity. So I'm really been pushing and talking with, you know, the chairs. Just got off a, I was a little late to your phone call because I just got off a meeting with one of the chairs of one of the committees that I'm on. And so we'll try and work with that, but it's going to be difficult when you're not in the building and walk across the hall to a conference room and have that face-to-face conversation.
What do you think the top issues that the GOP will focus on are going to be for this session?
Well, I think things that we're working on is encouraging the governor to get our schools open in a safe manner. Get the kids back into classrooms where they can safely do that, and to focus on that. We would like to also look at helping our, you know, our small business partners. You know, how did they get through? Did they get through this COVID? Have they been able to survive up to this point? And how can we help them? And how can we not make it so difficult for them as the vaccination saturation increases and goes up? How can we help them move forward? The other thing that I'm hoping to really focus on is getting input down from, you know, like the county level, county commissioners level, and things like that, of what's really going on in their counties, and tracking the federal dollars that has been distributed for the, you know, for the COVID dollars from the federal, how that's been distributed. And if we have more of that, can we get a equitable portion of that down to our county level? I think what we've seen, at least in the first, they call it tranches, sets of money, that our counties have maybe not received the funds that they have because, you know, some of those formulas are based on population. But in order to set up a system to do anything, you have some base costs to do that. You have to have the right people in place. And so looking at how those funds have been distributed among our county partners, I think is important. Getting feedback from them, getting the schools open, making sure that we don't have increased tax burden as people are struggling through this. And, you know, we would like to actually offset some of those commercial activities taxes for some of our business folks that are, you know, struggling to try and make this next April payment coming up.
The Democrats control both chambers, and of course, the governor, a Democrat. What have you heard about their priorities, some of the things they're going to be pushing for this session?
Well, there's going to be a lot of priorities that they have. Some of the stuff that they're looking at is just, you know, kind of the makeup of the legislature, how that works. And so their first priority was the change in the House rules. And so there was a lot of changes in the House rules, and some of those were to accommodate, you know, getting into a virtual world. But some of those were designed to be more punitive if somebody didn't come to the Capitol. They put into the House rules that they would now be allowed to, if you didn't have an excused absence, allowed to fine an individual $500 a day. And if you can, you know, calculate that out, going to the legislature, if you're not able to be there, you know, there's a fine for not being there on that day. So you can see from just the rules that getting a little more authoritarian on the function of it, how it works there. Bigger picture, you know, there's going to be a focus on the ballot measure 110 that will probably be coming through, and that's the legalization or the of some of the substance that we have available you know, beyond marijuana, getting into cocaine and things like that, where it's going to be a misdemeanor and with a fine on the first offense. And so I think there's going to be a lot of focus on how do we set that up. And of course, that measure came with some recommendations for treatment. The problem is that there's no treatment facilities, and so there'll be a big focus on how is that going to be funded.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Cedric Hayden joining us. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 tomorrow, another look at wildfire recovery. We've got a representative from the Federal Office of Emergency Management. We'll be talking about some of the things that are still available, whether you were impacted directly by the wildfires. If not, you probably know people who were. So make sure and listen, an opportunity to find out more about some of the help out there from FEMA on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Cedric Hayden joining us, representing parts of Douglas and Lane County. Obviously, Oregon taking a big hit, as everybody else did around the nation, due to COVID-19. As you get ready for the new session, just into the new year, how are the state coffers looking?
So the state coffers were actually looking a little healthier than what we expected them in the last financial forecast. But if you, it may make some sense if you look at how the tax structure is for most of the businesses in Oregon, and I think they didn't fully take into account the PPP loans or the federal help to the businesses, and so that helped offset some of the losses. But they are expecting coming down as that comes out now, as businesses start filing their taxes going forward on last year's estimates. And, you know, if your business is structured to where you basically do the extension and don't pay that tax until the end of the year for 2019, I think we are going to be looking at a several billion dollar shortfall. And then that is kind of a double hit, because we've seen a significant increase, getting close to a 40% increase in those on the Medicaid system, or those that need to have some assistance in getting their health care, which the federal government, if you look at that as a whole, they pay about 76% of that. And, you know, different parts, they pay 90%, and others, they kind of a sliding scale. But it basically comes back that the federal government helps with about 3/4 of our healthcare system. But it's a very expensive system. And having up to 40% increase on the state's obligation to that, with a financial decrease coming forward from our tax revenue base, we're going to have a really hard time, I think, balancing that budget driven by our healthcare needs coming up. And, you know, it's yet to be seen how that's going to be covered and what the federal government might do in the future to help alleviate some of those costs. Are they going to pick up more than two or three-fourths of that Medicaid payment, which would be a possibility, but we don't know that at this time.
Well, the governor has called for more federal help, of course, with the changing of administrations and all of that. It's really questionable at this point exactly what might come or when it might come. And at the front end of all of this, you've got a lot of state agencies that, as you mentioned, are giving more assistance at a time when less money's coming in.
Yeah, and so obviously you can make that quick calculation on the back of a napkin, if you will, that, you know, if you're spending more dealing with the challenges of COVID, and our businesses aren't as robust as, or even open at all, or not able to survive, most of our tax revenue is based on, you know, personal income, and that personal income comes from, you know, the folks being able to have a job, work at the mill down the street, whatever it is. And if they're not making that paycheck, then the financial resource from that payroll taxes isn't there. And so, you know, we're going to have kind of two sides colliding here with increased cost and lower funding. So the challenge is going to be, where does that gap get filled, and how much does the federal government step in to help with some of those services? And with a new administration coming in on the federal level, we really don't know the answer to that. And, you know, a different dynamic coming in, and both about the same in the House, a little gains there in the House on the Republican side, but it didn't upset the balance of power there, and the balance of power being shifted in the U.S. Senate, and then, of course, the presidency and the administration. Time will tell, but we don't know how much or if there is going to be help coming from that. And our obligation at the state level is to figure out how to fund the budgets and make prioritizations.
And so obviously there's a potential there for some agencies to get cuts and maybe some agencies to get potentially deep cuts.
Yeah, it's been interesting on, you know, what is determined to cut and what is not determined to cut in our budgeting process, and at least in Oregon. If you look at a budget, what would be called a zero-based budget, meaning that if we spend $10 million on an agency, I'm just making up an example, and if we do $10 million to that budget, the next budget biennium, if you did a zero-based budget, then it would be $10 million, but with no cut. The way that that's talked about in Salem, if you don't do a $10 million up, you know, 10%, but say the current service level is they're asking for 10% increase or a 6% increase or 15% increase. So then in the way that we do budgeting Salem, the $10 million in order not to have a cut would be, if it was at 10%, would be an $11 million budget the next year. So I think, you know, we're going to have to take a hard look at zero-based budgeting versus current service level budgeting. And I think there is an argument more than we've had in the past on current service level. But one thing that we haven't done on current service level in the past is the Medicare funding. They always leave that kind of at a zero-based funding, which has been interesting to me, because then it creates this huge gap in funding of health care. Excuse me. Back to you, Kyle.
So give us an idea about, when you look at the budget, are there particular departments, particular services that you are most concerned about?
Yeah, I think the biggest one, and we talked about that already here, but the biggest one is Department of Human Services and then the Oregon Health Authority defunding the Medicaid population. That's kind of the biggest budget that we're going to be looking at as an increase, meaning we've gone from under a million Oregonians, or 25% basically of Oregonians get some assistance through the Medicaid health program, or OHP. And we've gone up, we're getting close to 1.4 million or 1,400,000 people are now applying for and getting on that. So when you have, I was talking about almost a 40% increase in that population, that's going to be a huge increase in what the state's going to have to come up to cover that. So the question is, you know, how do we fund this? And so I work in as vice chair of the healthcare, and I'll be vice chair of the COVID committee, which will be health related. I'm also on the mental and behavioral health committee, and on the ways and means sub on human services that does all the budgets of that. So I'm kind of, you know, involved in the policy side of all that and the budgeting side of all that. And that's the big budget gap that I see. Education department is always a very large part. K through 12 is always a very large part of our budget. The governor has indicated that she's, you know, looking to hold them harmless going through that, and hasn't made that indication on the healthcare side. So I think the healthcare side on, you know, driving down the budget or trying to balance the budget is going to be the one that has a lot of discussion around it.
The last few sessions, there's been a lot of back and forth between both sides of the aisle. Given where things stand right now, do you expect more of that in this coming session?
Well, I think things are going to, you know, kind of go from where they are to a little bit of a calm here as we go into the virtual session. And I don't know whether that's just going to be, you know, the session is starting and we're starting to process through it. But the difficult part is going to be for, you know, our citizens to engage with that. I've served on a couple of task force meetings throughout the interim here. One is based off of a bill, 770 bill for affordable access to healthcare. Another is affordable access and expansion of daycare services. And one of my passions has been trying to get, you know, equitable compensation for daycare providers in rural Oregon that now only get 50 cents on the dollar compared to metropolitan area. And both of those task force had public hearings and public input options. And we would go through some of those task force meetings on the public and not have a single person there to testify. I know if that was in Salem, particularly on the healthcare, affordable access to healthcare, and to a large part, daycare, people are there to testify. So that's going to be our challenge, is getting people engaged.
All right, it all begins on Tuesday. A lot of preparations now. State Representative Cedric Hayden, thanks for being on.
Thank you, sir.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.